Luke chapter number 1 again. Luke chapter number 1. We'll pick right back up where we started this morning. Luke chapter number 1. Verse number 46, I think. That's right, verse 46. The Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, forever." And I'm not going to go back and deal with the introduction as we did this morning, but I believe we all know what's going on in the text and the context of these scriptures. Probably Luke chapter number 1 and Luke chapter number 2 were the most familiar scriptures as far as the Bible, the Christmas story. I want to encourage you. We do this as a family every year at Christmas time, and I would encourage you to, if you don't have this tradition, to incorporate it. It's something that is a highlight of our Christmas. Before the kids open presents or before we eat or do any of that stuff, we sit down as a family. And we open the Word of God and we read the Christmas story right out of the Bible. And I believe that's a good thing to do. After all, it'd be a terrible thing to have a birthday party and look right over the one whose party it is and who we're celebrating. And so that would be a good thing to do. But Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55 is our text, and we began this morning, and we're talking about celebrating the Lord Jesus in Christmas, and we wouldn't have Christmas had it not been for Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and we get to participate, and we get blessed. And have a fun time and all that, but this is all about Him. And like His own most communion tables, that in all things He would have the preeminence. Truly at Christmas, that should be the case. In everything that we do, whether it's sitting down at a meal, gathering with our family, opening presents, when we open presents, and I would tell this to your kids as we do, the reason that we have an exchange presence is not because of a big fat man in a red suit. That ain't why. The Bible says, and before you get mad at me, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with who there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we know that Jesus is the greatest gift ever given, and Him providing salvation. And so whether it's in the gifts, and then, you know, the wise men, they brought gifts. And so I'm not knocking giving. I'm not knocking gifts. If you think I'm against it, give me one, and I'll show you how much I like it. That's right. And so, or if you sit down at a meal, then pause a moment. Thank the Lord for providing that, and every part of it. Just in all things, that He would have the preeminence. And let's make sure to have our priorities straight. But this morning, we began and we looked at how Mary celebrates the Lord Jesus for the personal grace that she experienced. And can I say before we get good and started that grace is a wonderful thing. Could you imagine if just grace alone was removed from your life? You wouldn't be living. You sure wouldn't be on your way to heaven. For by grace are you saved. So listen, thank God for grace. Thank God that His grace is sufficient for every trial, for every mile that we go. And so Mary celebrates the Lord Jesus, realizing that apart from Him, there would be no grace. And we talked about how that she knew, and she was celebrating the fact of the grace of God when it come to Him redeeming her. We talked about that this morning, how Jesus come and was born of a virgin that He may redeem mankind. And then she was celebrating and thanking God for His grace that she personally encountered when He not only redeemed her, but He regarded her. The Bible used that word, that He regarded her. He looked her way. He called her name. He chose her and put His hand upon her to carry the Lord Jesus. And then He rewarded her. And let me say this. Any reward that we receive from God, any gift we receive from God, is directly linked to the grace of God. Because the best definition I've ever heard for grace is God's unmerited favor toward us. Undeserving. We didn't work for it. We didn't do anything to get it. It's just because God's so good, He gave to us. And that's grace. And so we dealt with number one, Mary celebrates the Lord Jesus for the personal grace. Number two, Mary celebrates the Lord not only for personal grace, but for perpetual grace. For grace that wasn't just there when she needed it the first time, but for a perpetual grace, for grace that continued on, not just at the birth, not just at the when the angel come and said that the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you and that God's going to have favor on you and you're going to carry full term the God child and that baby that's in you, you're going to give birth to Him and He's going to change the world. And because of Him, salvation will be brought to humanity. And that would have been wonderful. And that would have been great that God was personal in His grace to her. But thank God. Listen, remember back when He came to you and you experienced the grace of God for the first time, when He redeemed you and He regarded you and He rewarded you with His Son? Boy, thank God for that. But ain't you glad grace didn't stop there? Ain't you glad that grace has followed you all the days of your life, that it's still being perpetuated? It's still going forward. When you wake up in the morning, you don't have to look heavenward and wonder, when's my grace going to get here? No, it's there when you need it. It's perpetual. And Mary experienced that. And so she celebrates the Lord Jesus for this perpetual grace. Look, if you will, in verses 50 through 53. The Bible said in verse 50, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm, and He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. Do you pick up what was being said there? She said, I was one of poverty. I was a poor person. I was one of low degree. And he bypassed the rich man, and he bypassed those of notoriety and fame, and he come down to this little handmaiden of the Lord that nobody else would have picked and nobody else would have chosen. And God showed favor and give grace to me. And she's celebrating that. And so, when we're thinking about this perpetual grace, think about the performance of His grace in verse 50. The performance of His grace. Mary knows that she isn't the only one who's received grace from God, nor is her generation that can expect the hand of God to move. But His grace is to be revealed not just to her generation, but the Bible said, we just read it together, from generation to generation. In other words, it wasn't just there for Mary. Thank God it's there for my mama. Thank God it wasn't just there for Jesus' mama, but it's been there for my mama and you and your mama. And thank God it didn't end with my mama and me, but it'll be passed on, and it is being passed on to the mama of my children, and then to my children and you and your children. And from generation to generation, the grace of God has been perpetually being given as faithful as God Himself, and it's never run dry. There's never been a day that God come up short. There's never been a day that you had to stand in line and wait or call heaven to ask for it and got put on hold. No, God's grace has been perpetually given to you. Amen. And provided for me and for you as it was for Mary. And so the grace of God is operating even today. The grace, there's still grace to save sinners. Ain't you glad? Boy, ain't you, don't that bring hope to know that the God of heaven is still just as able and capable of saving your loved ones as He was when He saved you? Absolutely. Grace is still there to reclaim the backslidden. Grace is still there for the battles and the trials that me and you face in our life and the valleys that seem so deep and long. Grace is there for every situation in life we face. The very fact that you're here tonight and that I'm here tonight proves the fact that God's grace has been perpetual. It has been ongoing, and it shall be. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That in and of itself should be a motivator for us to praise and worship the Lord, to know that you're never going to have to worry about His grace running short. That's worth celebrating. That's worth praising the Lord over. That's worth worshiping Him over. Number two, not only do we consider the permanence of His grace, but then the performance of His grace. Mary said, and she's dealing with in verses 51 through 53, listen to it as we read. She said, He hath showed strength with His arm and hath scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. He hath holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, and as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed. Mary praises the Lord because He did not come to reach out to the proud and the mighty. She's celebrating the fact that though she had looks back in her heritage as Father Abraham and those mighty patriarchs of the faith and those heroes of the faith and those that did have fame and did have fortune, that God didn't just look to them, but that God, down through the annals of time, that God would look to the low, God would look to the poor, God would look to those that nobody else would look for and look to, and He'd see to it that His grace would perform just the same in their life as it did anybody else's. In fact, God chose to reveal Himself to those who were poor and humble. In His working of this great miracle, God demonstrated His power and has shown put to shame those who were lifted up and had much. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God hath chosen, listen, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Boy, that ought to give every one of us hope tonight. And I know there's some then in the room that are live longer than others and may have gathered more and got more in the bank and got a good name out in the community and this and that and the other. But listen, it ought to encourage every. There ain't no president sitting in the room. Of course, I wouldn't want to be identified with the one in office now. Know it. But they ain't no kings or potentates. They ain't no, far as I know, no billionaires in the room. What I'm trying to say is, really, if we put everything we got together, wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. We ain't the rich and famous. In the eyes of the world, we are a bunch of nobodies. In the eyes of the world, we are a bunch of poor, most of us redneck hillbillies who Bible thumping, Bible carrying, crazy, pathetic, poor people for what we're doing here tonight as we're celebrating the Lord Jesus. That's what they think of us. That's how they think of us. But listen, hallelujah, we got. I don't need their approval. I didn't get their permission. Wasn't seeking it. And I sure don't want their approval. And don't need their permission because I've got God in heaven saying amen to what I'm preaching tonight. And from His word, He said, I chose on purpose. I chose the foolish things. I chose the base things. I chose what the world would look at as being small and little. I chose those very things to pour my grace into so people would look and know that it wasn't them, but it was Him. And Mary saw that, and Mary celebrated that as she thought about this marvelous grace that was given to her through the Lord Jesus. In one great act, God has reversed the order of society. Those who were considered great by men will be brought low, while those who trust the Lord, though they may be poor and humble, God promised that He would exalt them. You think about people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Bill, who's Microsoft owner, Bill Gates. These men, they at the top of the food chain. They people look up to them, and boy, they look up to themselves. They think they, just for a lack of better words, hot snot. They think they everything. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when their knee will bow. Their tongue will confess. Every God denier, every billionaire, every president, every God denying scientist. Listen, this world will bow, and as they have condescendingly looked down their nose at us and made mockery of us who believe and who have trusted and preached and believed and proclaimed that Jesus saves and that God loves you and Jesus died on a cross. And boy, they mock that and they ridicule that. But one day, standing in heaven at the judgment, it won't be us standing there in mockery. It won't be us standing there shamefaced. But when that, well, listen, I'll bow my knee gladly. I'll bow my knee on purpose. Not having to be made to, but on purpose I'll bow my knee and confess He's Lord while they have been made to. And then we'll see where the shame really is.
Yeah. Amen.
And listen, let me say this. You gonna bow.
Yeah. That's right.
One way or the other, you gonna bow. And you gonna confess that He's Lord. So why would you wait to be made to do it when He freely give you opportunity to choose to do it before it's too late? Only those who are willing to humble themselves before the Lord can expect the blessings from the Lord when it comes to salvation. Salvation comes to the humble. According to Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, the Bible said, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Those who are willing to admit their sin can expect to be saved. Those who are willing to admit their need can expect to have it met. Listen, before we can expect anything from the Lord, we must be willing to humble ourselves in His sight. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. When we do this, we can experience His grace in a very real way. There are many who will die lost and spend eternity in hell simply because they were unwilling to come to the Lord and to humble themselves and admit their sin and that they are a sinner and receive Him as Lord. How tragic. So not only do we see the permanence of His grace and the performance of His grace, but thirdly, we see the promise of His grace. Verse 53, we'll read it again. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty away. Mary reminds us that those who realize their lack can come to the Lord and be filled, while those who think they have need of nothing can expect exactly that from God. Nothing. They are many today who see themselves though through rose-colored glasses. They think and say things like, I'm as good as the crowd down there at the church house. I'm a good person. I don't steal. I don't hurt anybody. I mind my own business. Well, at least I'm not like them hypocrites down at the church. You ever heard them sayings? However, they are missing this. Salvation does not rely on how well the crowd down at the church does. Salvation don't rely on how good or how bad some Christian you know performs. Salvation is dependent solely upon you having a personal encounter with the God of heaven and Him extending His grace to you after you've repented of your sin. Period. Many are like the church crowd in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, where they lukewarm. We're living in that age. And that's not an excuse, but it's the truth, sadly. They thought they had everything they needed. They failed to see that they were the neediest people of all. Jesus told them they was blind. Jesus told them they needed salve on their eyes. Jesus told them, when they said they had need of nothing, is that not the mentality not only of most churches but the world? They feel like they don't need God for nothing. We don't need God. We don't need His Word. We don't need no help from God because they're so ignorant to the fact that the only reason they're breathing is by the grace of God. The only reason they have what they have is by the grace of God. And so to say a statement, make a statement like, I don't need nothing from God, just shows how pridefully ignorant they are. With all they possess, they still lacked everything. Because to have the entire world and not have Jesus is to be eternally doomed and damned. What's that verse? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? To have Him and nothing more is to have the greatest treasure that heaven can afford. If you have all the goods of this world in your hand and don't have the Lord Jesus in your heart, you are destitute and headed for hell. According to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36, I just quote it, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Remember the sobering truth in John 15, 5. "I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me," Jesus said, "you can do nothing." You sure can't get to heaven without him. I want to go a step further. You can't get home from church tonight without him. You can't get up and go to work. People say, "Well, I work for everything I got." You may work and you may gain and you may get and you may have that mentality, but I want to correct that. The only reason that you have what you have, the only reason that I have what I have, is because the goodness of God and the grace of God afforded us the help to be able to get up and go. Hey, listen, case in point. Y'all remember that king in the Bible, that wicked king, and he turned against God and he got prideful, and the next thing you know, God removed the grace off of him. And the next thing you know, he's out barking like a dog and living out in a field, eating grass like an animal. Listen, I'm saying it's just the grace of God that you have your mind to be able to go do what you do. It's just the grace of God that you, listen, that your body, and we all got issues. I ain't saying we all health fanatics. I mean, far from it. But we are able to do what we do. That business you own, it ain't yours. It's his. The Bible says that the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. That house you may have paid off and have the title deed to, it's in your name, but it's, can I remind us all, it's on loan from God. It's only the grace of God and how it's been perpetuated in your life that's allowed us all to have physically, financially, and with our family, and with our church, what we have. Mary saw in this perpetual grace a reason for rejoicing. Things hadn't changed. He's still the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God didn't promise you wouldn't have to suffer a while. There is suffering. And you can tell, Brother Jackie, if you're watching, I know you're suffering, but since you have time and have your phone, call your buddy, Mr. Joel Smiley Osteen himself, and let him know that you do have to suffer. Some of these TV nut jobs would have you believe that there's just nothing but smiles and all positive in the Christian life. It's a bed of roses in the Christian life. Just one problem with that is it ain't the truth. The Bible said, matter of fact, it says it right here, "And after you have suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God knows what he's doing. Remember Paul? Paul had that thorn in the flesh and he prayed and prayed. And I mean, everybody knows he prayed three times to have that removed. But it wasn't just three, "Lord, I got a thorn, remove it." It was three seasons of prayer. It was three seasons of agonizing. I mean, fasting and praying and laying before God and letting God know, "I need this removed from me. This is hurting me. And Lord, I need your help." Amen. And God, you know, God answered him. But it wasn't the answer he was looking for. But it was a better answer than what he was asking for.
Right.
Sometimes God will leave the thorn in your life because he knows you need the grace more than you need the thorn removed. Because if he just removed the thorn, we would never experience a side of him that we can only experience while the thorn is causing so much agony.
That's right.
But God promised, I will give more grace, perpetual grace. And Mary understood this. And then finally, not only did Mary celebrate the Lord for personal grace, Mary celebrated the Lord for perpetual grace, but finally, Mary celebrated the Lord for performed grace. Verses 54 and 55, the Bible said, He hath hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, and He, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Now listen, we're talking about she's celebrating the Lord for the performed grace. God promised Abraham. God made a promise to that Jewish seed that he was going to give them a land, he was going to give them a people, and it would be, their numbers would be more than the stars of the heaven and more than the sand on the seas. God made a promise to them. God made a promise that he was going to do that, and God performed it. And in the life of Mary, she's celebrating the fact that a while back that an angel appeared unto her, and an angel appeared unto her boyfriend at the time, she's a spouse of Joseph, and told them that there's going to be a child put in you. And she's lived long enough to see that not only was that grace sufficient when he came and told her, and how overwhelming of an experience that was to be confronted by an angel, but then receive the message she received, then think about all the gossip and all that would come along with that, and all the pressure she's going to have to uproot and move and go hide herself privately, and all the kind of, but his grace was sufficient. And there she was, a little young pregnant woman, never knowing a man, with all the condemnation from man, and God's grace perpetually was there for her. But then she'd come back to this fact, and she said, not only was it personal to me, not only was his grace perpetual to me, but his grace performed for me. And I'm here to tell you, God's grace, if you will allow Him to get personal with you, you'll experience the perpetual grace of God following that. And then you will see to it that His grace is not only personal and it's not only perpetual, but it is absolutely prospering, productive, promising, powerful. And praise the Lord, she said, I'm rejoicing and I'm celebrating the fact that His grace is performing. It accomplishes that is set out to do. He hath hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, and spake to our fathers Abraham to his seed forever. Mary praises the Lord not only for the blessings in her life and for the blessings upon successive generations, but she also praises the Lord for remembering to do what He promised to do. If He ever made you a promise, you can take it to the bank. I mean, listen, have you ever been on your knees in prayer and had a great need? And you said, oh God, I'm coming to you. And you said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Bible says that if two will agree touching one thing, God will do it. He said, ask and it shall be answered. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. I mean, over and over and over, the Bible promises us if we'll go to Him in faith believing, God will answer it. He promises that. But have you ever got on your knees and really got humble and honest to God and said, Lord, I have a need and you promised to meet all my needs and you prayed and said, God, this is a need, and you know it's a need. This ain't, I'm not praying this to consume it upon my own lust. This is a legitimate, genuine prayer. I need this, Lord. I need it. It may be for your marriage. It may be for your child that's lost. It may be for a mama or a daddy that's lost. And you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and it seems like all hope's gone. And you, I mean, not only is he not saved them yet, but they're getting worse, and they're getting further. And it looks like God's forgot all about that prayer. You ever felt that way? If you hadn't, hang on, honey, because it's coming. But Mary, and God had this put in his word for a reason. Mary wanted to remind us all that not only is his grace personal and perpetual, but his grace performs. If he promised you, it may not have happened yet, but if you'll keep praying and faith believing, I promise you in his time, he will perform for you. That promise will come through for you. She exalted his name because he did not forget his people. The bondage of the Jews and their longing for a Messiah. Mary praises the Lord for keeping his word. Now listen. At the time this is being penned, keep in mind, they're in captivity. They're under Roman rule. But yet she's praying and praising the Lord that he is his grace is going to perform. And she fully was persuaded that he was going to come through and raise Israel back up and free them like he had done over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Hey. And could I say, in 2023, when it seems like the whole world's turning against Israel again. Are you listening to me? Did y'all hear what our... I just throwed up my mouth a little bit thinking about this. Did y'all hear what our wicked, vice president Kamala Harris said? Did y'all hear this nonsense, this wickedness? Got on the news publicly last night or sometime today and made this statement, how that Israel ain't got the credit that they think they got with the United States, and they better watch it because they're running out of room for us to go along with them. I don't care if America turns on them, but you let America and every other country on planet Earth turn on them. There's a God in heaven, I promise you. He made a promise to that Jew way, way, way back. And Mary said, I've been personal with this grace, and his grace has been perpetuated in my own life. And he made a promise to Father Abraham. And I promise you, though we're in captivity under the Roman Empire now and the Roman rule now, there's coming a day when the grace of God is going to produce in the lives of his people. And all of hell can rise against Israel, and even America can turn against Israel, and it's going to at some point, according to the Word of God, all nations. All. And last time I checked, all means is all. All nations. But she's rejoicing over the fact that this grace is productive. It's promising. Listen, if he promised it, it's going to come to pass. God did not forget his promise. The bondage of the Jews and their longing for the Messiah, Mary praising the Lord for keeping his word. So, as we close talking about this performed grace, God remembers his promises. Ain't you glad? He ain't never forgot one. And I don't know, I've heard different numbers mentioned. of how many promises are in the Word of God. I mean, there's promise after promise after promise after promise in this Bible. Thousands and thousands of promises God made. And if He made it, you can count on it. God remembers His promise. For centuries, the Jews had lived on the promise of the Lord that He would one day send a deliverer. A Messiah to redeem the people and restore the nation to a place of righteousness and favor with God. Jesus is to be the fulfillment of those promises, and Mary exalts the name of the Lord for remembering to keep that promise. And I ain't got time to get into this, but one of the reasons they rejected Jesus, one of the reasons that the people in Israel in His day said He ain't Messiah, He ain't God, and because He claims to be, we'll crucify Him, because they were looking for a physical king. They were under that Roman rule, that iron, fist of iron, and it was so bad. They were looking for a deliverer in the physical sense, but God had sent a deliverer of sin, not just of government, not just over the to get them out of Roman rule and captivity, but God sent the Savior of the world. And so God held true to this productive promise, and Mary understood that. That's why she put those. That's why this is put in the Word of God, to where she made that statement. He hath hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our father Abraham. And so, can I remind us all, the Lord still keeps His promises. He will never allow anything He has promised to go undone. Listen to what Romans 4:21 said. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform. That's why He can be trusted in every situation of your life. If He promised it, He'll perform it. And that's worth celebrating. Whether it be for salvation, daily provision, fill in the blank. God can perform the promise He made. God will do what He said He will do. Therefore, learn to trust Him. Learn to praise Him for His goodness. Even if the answer has not yet been seen, if He promised it, it's coming. Go ahead and celebrate it. Go ahead and rejoice in it. Go ahead and give Him glory for it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we see God remembers His promises, then God remembers His people. He said in verse 55, and He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. God didn't forget His people. Mary rejoices in the fact that the Lord hasn't forgotten about the people of Israel. They were His people, and they still are. She praises His name that He remembers those who have placed their faith in Him. We have the same reason this evening as Mary did, for rejoicing and celebrating that God don't forget His people. God don't forget His promises, and God don't forget His people. And just like He said, I ain't forgot about my promise to Abraham and his seed forever. Listen to me. God's made just as many, if not more, promises to the church, which is me and you. And if He had made that promise, listen to me, He ain't forgot you as His people. Not only are we His people, but we closer than that. Brother Ned, I ain't just a person to Him. I'm a son. Now, you might tell me, hey, preacher, I need you to do this, and I ought to honor that, and I ought to remember that, and I ought to keep that top of mind, and I ought to never, ever, ever forget, and I ought not to ever, ever, ever let something slip my mind. And y'all let me know that when I do. And it'd be all right if you'd let me know that and say, hey, preacher, text me, call me, and say, hey, preacher, you told me you was going to come by or call me or do this, and I didn't hear from you. First of all, you okay? Second of all, you know what I'll say? Well, you sorry joker, I can't believe you called me. How dare you call me? Don't you know how busy I am? Absolutely not. I wouldn't react that way. I'd say, oh, goodness, I'm so, so sorry. It slipped my mind, and I'm sorry. That's how I'd respond, because I'm just like you are. I don't have a perfect photogenic memory. And life gets busy, but not God. Amen. And y'all, I love you. You're my church, and I'll do my best to remember. But even at my best, I'll fail. But these four girls that ranks even above y'all. And if they say, Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you.
Yeah. Come on.
Matter of fact, I need you tomorrow. And it's serious, Daddy, and I need you. You know what Daddy's going to do? I'm going to forget about every member at Morning Star Baptist Church and anything else going on in my life. And I'm going to rearrange my schedule. And I'm going to unplug from this world. And I'm going to run to that daughter of mine who needs her daddy.
Sure.
That's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
And even a step above that, much as I love my four children, there's a little woman sitting right over there, and I'm telling you, if she needs me, you can just get over it. I'm going to her, and I'm going to help her, and I'm going to do whatever I can do because she's my person. My point being, if we as earthly fathers, if we as earthly lovers will do that for our children and for our bride, how much more does our Father and the bridegroom, he ain't going to forget you. You his people. You his family. You are the sons of God and the daughters of God. And he ain't going to forget you, and he never has and he never will. And you can rejoice in that. Everybody else in this world may forget about you and forget what they're supposed to do for you or what they owed you or what they promised you, but I promise you, you'll never accuse God of that. He loves you too much. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That's what Jesus said, like the last thing he said. He said, I've told y'all all kind of stuff in my ministry. I've lived on this earth 33 and a half years, and I've walked with y'all. You, my disciples, I've been with y'all 3.5 years. And I mean, listen, I've been with y'all night and day, and we've slept together, and we've preached together, and we've prayed together, and we've been persecuted together, and we've done all kind of things. But the very, 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 very last thing I want you to know, I will, though I'm leaving, and you're going to see me going up through the sky and ascending, just know when I look like I'm the furthest away, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God promised his children he will never, ever. He said, lo, I am with you. Always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christian, you need never think God's going to forget about you. You are forever impressed on his heart. Your name is in his hand. He ain't going to forget you. Ephesians 2:6, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He will see you through this world and into the next. He did not save you to lose you. He saved you to take you home with him. What a blessed standing is ours to know he's going to be with us all the way to the end of this world and then face to face with him forever in the next. What a wonderful reason to praise the name of the Lord. I close. We are indebted to Mary this evening, not to the extent that we fall before her or her statue and worship her, not that we should pray to her, not that we should hold her higher than anyone else who ever lived, but we owe her a debt of gratitude for reminding us that whether it is for personal grace, favors for others, or for those times when the Lord proved himself faithful in our life, in the lives of his children, we have a God who is worthy of faith, love, praise, and worship. With that in mind, I ask you this evening, will you celebrate him? Will you rejoice over him? And the grace that he has given every one of us. He sure is worthy. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word, Lord. Help us to receive it. May it find lodging ground in our hearts. Oh, God, may you plow our hearts, God, that the soil would be ready to receive the seed, the word of God, that it would take root, God, and grow up and produce fruit. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord God, for personal grace, Lord, where you come to me one-on-one. Save me. Thank you, God, for perpetual grace, Lord, where you have went with me, God, all the days of my life, never once letting me down. And thank you, God, for producing grace. Lord God, and the promising grace, Lord, you ain't forgot us. You ain't going to leave us. Thank you for these reminders, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. These altars are open just